Good morning. Help us to get here. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. It's good to be back in Sunday school today. Hopefully you've read the lesson. Unit 2 is called in our Sunday school teacher books, Four Weddings and a Funeral. Last week was about a wedding. This number 2, and it's about a wedding. Entitled, The Most Beautiful Bride. Hopefully all the teachers read Brother Rick Seifert's commentary this week. If not, go read it when you get home today. But please listen closely. Brother Rick said, The Song of Solomon is a book like no other in the Old Testament. It is not a sermon like the prophetic books, but a series of conversations and dialogues between a man and a woman, and some women in Jerusalem. The book can be approached from four basic angles. First, you can read the book redemptively. You can see the love between Christ and His church. Second, you can read the book dispensationally. The love of God for His people Israel. Third, if you read the book spiritually, it can reveal much about the love of the Savior for the sinner. While each of the first three approaches have merit and are a blessing, they can easily be exaggerated. The good student of the Scripture will avoid such temptations and exaggerations. But the fourth approach this morning seems to be the most logical. If you read the book literally, it's obvious it speaks of the beauty of a wedded love. In light of the importance of the love and the relationship between a man and a woman, it shouldn't surprise us the Bible talks about this wedded love. In the Song of Solomon, there is a positive view on this wedded love. The Song of Solomon is based upon a romance between a man and a woman. It is believed that Solomon is speaking about himself and a Shulamite girl that he loved and eventually married. I said a married couple. I pray for each Sunday school teacher today as they expound on this scripture biblically and rightly divide the Word of God. The reality today is that when it comes to the Song of Solomon, we amen about the redemptive aspect, and we should. We shout the house down about the dispensational aspect of this book, and we love the spiritual aspect. I love this all. I'm thankful that He is the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that He is mine and I'm His this morning. I'm glad He is terrible as an army with banners. And oh yes, He is altogether lovely. I'm thankful for these truths today. And I love Joe Arthur's message. I could hear it. I could listen to it every day about Jesus being the Rose of Sharon. One of the best messages of all time. But that's not what we need today. It's not. It's just not what we need today. It's not what has fell my lot to tell you this morning. I'm sorry if that's what you come to hear. I don't have that today. But I do have this morning. Our homes are in a mess. Our marriages are falling apart. Yet while we come to church and shout about all these truths, man, this lesson has encouraged me to be the husband God has called me to be. I've already failed Him today. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm sorry and no good. And it has challenged me. I don't want my home falling apart. Do you this morning, do you want your home to fall apart? The key truth to this morning is it don't have to fall apart. Why? It's simple. God has put a responsibility upon us men. I said us men this morning. The problem is I don't think we understand the vows we took. Now, some of y'all hadn't took any vows, but you will one day. Just listen to me. I don't think we understand the vows we took. It's not that we don't believe them. Example, when I got saved, I didn't know what all I was getting and didn't understand it at such a young age. The same goes for when I got married. I didn't understand what I was saying to my wife. I'm just being honest. I just know I loved her, and I was giving her vows. I talked to Fred, I talked to Dad, and I was telling her my vows. I just don't think us men understood what we were saying, but it's our responsibility this morning, just the same with marriage. I want to understand what God wants me to do as a husband and take that seriously so my marriage and my home can work. Amen. Is there any hope for marriage today? Is there any hope for the home today? With all the issues surrounding marriage from our government, from our pulpits, from our husbands, how can our marriages be saved? How can marriages work and be what God wants them to be? Well, what Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, it was shocking for that day. I mean, men, women were looked down upon. They were second class, third class citizens in that day. It was shocking for what he was writing. But you know, today, it's shocking today. It's shocking for some men to hear this today. It might be shocking for you to hear this. Look at your Bibles in Ephesians 5. Don't miss it this morning. This is why we're here today. This is why this has fell my lot. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, not yell at them, cuss at them, beat them, physically abuse them, talk down to them, don't fight with them. Love your wives. Help me this morning. Help me. Help you this morning. Help us to love our wives today. The Spirit-filled husband loves his wife not for what she can do for him, but what he can do for her. Amen. This is how Christ's love works. He loves us not because there's something in us that attracts him. He loves us because he determined to love us in spite of our unattractiveness. He loves us with a love that seeks not to tyrannize us, a love that seeks rather to meet our needs, to understand us, to provide strength for us. This love is completely self-sacrificing. Husbands, swallow your pride, swallow your personal desires, swallow your personal ambitions, swallow your fantasies and dreams about how life might have been with someone else or under some other circumstances in your current situation. Put all those things aside. It's all meaningless today. And love your wife God has given you. Amen. Only her, her needs, her concerns, and her heart. And sacrifice your life on her behalf. Well, this didn't turn out the way I thought. Or you know, it just wasn't what... Didn't think this is what it was going to be like. I don't know if you're there today. I don't know who you live with. I don't know what's going on in your life. You're right, I don't know this morning. All I know is the word says for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If we're going to shout about John 3:16, and if we're going to shout about Jesus' death and resurrection, we must shout about Ephesians 5:25. We must agree with it. I conclude and say this kind of love, of course, that the Spirit of God gives us the capacity to carry and to share, the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. The very love which Christ himself demonstrated toward us, we partake in that love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The Spirit produces in us this incredible love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls or been converted, you now have sincere love. You have the capacity to fervently love one another from the heart. You've been born again. This is the kind of love that belongs only to people who have been saved, who have been born again. Let me say this again. People who have been saved and who've been born again. Let me say that to you, young people.
Yes, sir.
Don't date people who aren't believers, who don't know the Lord. Date people who are saved.
Amen.
If you do that, you'll marry somebody that's saved.
Amen.
Husbands, if you can't love your wives this morning, you may want to check up on your salvation. I'm just going to be honest. That hit me this week. You need to check up. If you can't love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, we need to check up about our salvation. Just listen to this. The world tries to hang on to a romantic love as long as it possibly can, and eventually the bells stop ringing and the whistles stop blowing, and life gets pretty much mundane and pretty routine, and you just get old and you start looking bad, and something outside in your own marriage may look better than that's what it's home, and you can't sustain that love, you can't hold on to that love because you don't have the new man, you don't have the new nature. But we who have been born again, who have been bought by the blood, have a sincere love down in our hearts, a fervent love because of this imperishable seed of the living God abiding, the Word of God abiding in us, which he has granted us new life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved us so much that he gave his life. We love our wives to this point of self-sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 13 says, MacArthur states, love is not static. It is not substantive. In terms of language, it is a verb. Love acts. Love does something. In verse 4, it says it's patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Does not brag. Is not arrogant. Does not become unbecomely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails this morning. All those are verbs. This is how love acts. It is patient. It is kind. It is never jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It is not unbecomely. It does not act in a way that cheapens. It never speaks in its own. It is not provoked easily. It does not remember wrong it's been against. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It only rejoices in truth this morning. Again, it endures all things. It believes the best. It hopes the best. It endures everything and never fails. That's the character of the love of Christ. That's how we're supposed to love our wives today. This morning, Solomon and the Shulamite girl, there again, they're a married couple. I'm sure Solomon loved her. He had to. I mean, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Whoa. You say, doesn't that take away from your point this morning? Oh, no, just stay with me. Solomon loved this Shulamite girl more than any of his others. He had to. But think about this. Think about how much Adam loved Eve. How much Abraham loved Sarah. How much Isaac loved Rebecca. How much Jacob loved Rachel. How much Moses loved Zipporah. How much Boaz loved Ruth. And how much David loved Bathsheba. And how much Solomon loved this little girl. And how much Hosea loved Gomer. But let me put it to you like this. Adam and Eve, they need to love the way Christ loved the church. Abraham needed to love that way. But they didn't know how to. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't shed his blood. They were living under the law. But I don't think all these could because they were under the law. Oh, they tried to show us this morning fire. Adam and Eve tried to show us that a marriage is between a man and a woman. They showed us that, y'all. They showed us that. They showed us how to make it through a death of a child. Go read it. That teaches us how to deal when a child dies this morning. Abraham and Sarah shows us how to cope with having a child in our old age. Isaac and Rebecca shows us how to understand twins. Jacob and Rachel teach us that sometimes you have to work to make it work. Moses and Zipporah teach us that a man can marry in his old age. Boaz is our kinsman redeemer. David and Bathsheba, listen this morning, helps us understand God can work through affairs. I said God can work through affairs, can work through the death of a small child. Go read it. It happened to them. In our Sunday school lesson, our teachers will tell us about Solomon and Shulamite girl. And Hosea shows us that our marriages and our homes can work no matter what comes. No matter what Gomer did, Hosea still loved her this morning. I'm telling you, it'll work today. Marriage will work. But I'm telling you, all this really didn't matter. But Jesus came and he told the Pharisees in Matthew 12 and in Luke 31, the queen of the south shall rise up and the judgment and this generation shall condemn it. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But Jesus said, behold, I said, behold, a greater than Solomon has come. Jesus said, I am here to fulfill all these things. Jesus said, I am a greater than Solomon has come. I have come to show you how to live. I have come to show you how to die. But most importantly, he has come to show us how to love. Husbands, he has come to show us how to love our wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us this morning, a greater than Solomon is here this morning. A greater than Dr. Phil is here. A greater one than Joel Osteen is here. A greater one than your lost coworker that you're telling all your problems to about your home is here today. Jesus is here listening, wanting you to know that he's here and he loves and wants to fix your problems that's in your home. No matter what your marriages are facing today, a death of a child, a sickness in your home of your children, God can fix it. Your children are lost. They need to be saved. God can fix it today. He can fix financial issues. He can fix unforgiveness. He can forget bitterness and jealousy and pride, lust of the flesh. Jesus can fix all these things today. Jesus is here to help us all. Quit turning to these other avenues. Turn to Jesus. They will not help. Only the one who is greater than Solomon can help us. So husbands, tell your wife that you love her and mean it. Do it right now. Jessica Dagenhart, I love you this morning. I love you, baby. You're good to me. I appreciate you. I want to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean it today. I want our marriage to work. I want to die with you. I want to grow old with you. That's what I've been here to do. That's what God put you in my heart many years ago. And I love you. Some of you need to tell your wives today that you love her. She needs to hear it. I don't care if you ain't told her in 10 years. You need to tell her today that you love her, that you mean it. This church depends on it. We got to grow. Our home, it's in our homes this morning, y'all. You got to tell her. You got to tell your wife you love her. Father, I thank you for what you've done for me today through this lesson. I'm glad we can love our wives as Christ loved the church. Lord, I thank you for my home, my family, my beautiful bride you've given me. Father, I'm glad, Lord, I don't need these other avenues, but God, I've got Jesus. He came and showed us. Lord, I thank you. Bless the Sunday school hour and touch the teachers in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.